As we look today at our story, tale that's told here in Mark, we're introduced to some people in verse number 46. We're introduced to, the Bible says there, as he went out of Jericho, his disciples. We know the disciples. We know their frailties. We know their humanity. And it says in a great number of people, the fame of Jesus was at an all-time high, and great numbers thronged him. And they were introduced to a man named blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. The Bible records in the book of Matthew here that Jesus healed two men, but Mark and Luke simply focus on the one. And by the way, don't let that discourage you. Amen. The accounts harmonize. Amen. They're together. And so we're introduced to that great crowd. And then obviously in verse 46, we're introduced to the Lord. It says, and as he went out to Jericho, he'd been performing many miracles. He'd been healing all the disease that came to him. He'd been speaking with such wisdom as to close the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians' mouths for good. The Bible said they could not answer him for his speech. And by the way, may I say, it's awful hard to trip up God in his words. Amen. But here we're introduced to this story of this man, blind Bartimaeus, and sat by the highway side begging. And the Bible does not record, as it does for the man in John chapter 9, whether he'd been blind from birth or whether he had contracted this blindness over years. It doesn't record, but we know this, that he was blind. And for a person to be blind in Bible days was probably one of the worst afflictions you could have outside of the biblical disease of leprosy. And the reason was, most men during those days were craftsmen. It was very difficult, if you were blind, to do anything but be a beggar. And so we find blind Bartimaeus in verse 46 by the highway side begging. Could we say this, that blind Bartimaeus at this point in his life was probably in what we would call a rut? Have you ever been in a rut? It's okay to say yes. It's okay to say amen. Have you ever been in a rut? I see blind Bartimaeus here, and I see someone who was in a rut. Can I tell you this, that mountaintop experiences of life are part of life, amen? Aren't you glad? I see Lemon Katie back there with little Lincoln. That's a mountaintop experience when your children are born, isn't it? Amen? Parents, aren't you glad for the mountaintop experiences of when your children walked down an aisle and got married and hallelujah, moved out? A mountaintop experience, amen. Some of you celebrated with a jacuzzi tub in their room, amen. DJ. There's a lot of mountaintop experiences. You know, think about the day you got saved. Listen, folks, that's a mountaintop. It doesn't get any better than that. You think about the different wonderful experiences that God gives you in life. Praise God for those mountaintops. But I've learned, just in simple geography and topography, that for every mountain, there's a valley. You know, the valleys are just about as part of life as the mountaintops are. We don't like the valleys as much, do we? And think about Brother Wally and Ann right now. They're in a valley. They're in a valley. Amen, church? When you hear myelofibrosis, that's a valley. Can I tell you this? With all authority of Scripture, the God of the mountaintop is the God of the valley. He is. And just like mountaintops are part of life and valleys are part of life, you know what else is sometimes part of life? Ruts. Ruts. You say, what are some ruts, Pastor, just by way of introduction? Well, I think of mental ruts we get in. You know, we just get to the point where we stop trying to learn. You know, that's a rut. You know, God always wants us to be learning in life. Always. There's always something you can learn from somebody. I like to get around people. I told Mr. and Mrs. Howland as we were talking this week, I said, and forgive me, I don't mean it, but the way it sounds, but I love to be around older people. Why? They have a lot of knowledge. I love that. I love hearing stories from older people. Mrs. Howland was telling me this week that Brother Howland years ago had one of the most successful dairy farms in all of Michigan. But listen, that's somebody you can learn from, amen? But we get in mental ruts. I think about emotional ruts. A lot of folks get in emotional ruts. How you doing today? That's a rut. Amen? How you doing today? You don't want to know. That's a rut. You're in an emotional rut, if that's you. I think of physical ruts. And how came in today and I saw Miss Carol Ann trying to get her walker out. And listen, if you're here when Miss Carol Ann gets here, help her with her walker. Amen? And I saw her just trying to get out. Miss Carol Ann, that's a physical rut, isn't it? Sometimes just trying to get out and do the things that you want to do and it's difficult, it becomes a rut. How about the rut of starting only? You say, what do you mean, Pastor? You don't have to raise your hands and you don't have to say amen. But I have read Genesis more than any book in the Bible. Why is that, Pastor? Because we're all good starters. Come on. We're all good starters. That's a rut of starting only, and then maybe you slip up in your Bible time, and the next thing you know, the devil convinces you to just go ahead and quit. That's a rut. I think of the rut of good intentions. There's a lot of folks that have good intentions. But without good actions that follow good intentions, you know what it is? Just a rut. Just a rut. I think of the rut of a stubborn habit. Amen? My mother for 40 years smoked cigarettes. She was having dental surgery. And gum surgery. And she was in that dentist chair all the way back, you know, you're tipped back for 2 hours. They were doing a reconstructive work on her gum. And she had heart failure there in the dentist chair several years ago. And I want to tell you, that rut of smoking ended real quick. She had been in that rut of just putting it in. How many of us, and again, don't say amen. How many of us have had a stubborn habit and we just got settled in that rut and just kind of got content with it? I think of the rut of procrastination. Oh, mercy. How many of us would have to say, oh, me, to procrastination? The rut. I'll get to it tomorrow. The wise man knows the Bible and says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It's a rut. And I think of just the rut, the plain rut of sin. How we get in a rut of sin and we just get content to dwell in the rut. You know, the blind man here, blind Bartimaeus, I believe he gives us some ways to break out of a rut. If you're in a rut today, I promise you, you don't like it. And if you could, you'd like to get out of it, and all God's people said. Amen? A rut. How can I break out of a rut, Pastor? How can I break out? Well, let's look at several things here, several being ten things here about the blind man here in Mark chapter 10, how he broke out of a rut. I want you to notice number one in verse number 46. It says, he sat by the highway side begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. The first thing he did was he stopped waiting for the ideal situation. He stopped waiting for the ideal situation. There are two times in the Bible where we're told of an ideal environment, excluding heaven. Obviously, that's the most ideal. But there are two times here on earth that we learn of an ideal environment. Number one is in the Garden of Eden. It was an ideal environment. And all God's people said, it was God and man and woman. Amen. And we know what happened. The serpent came and he tempted Eve and she ate of the fruit and she gave it to her husband. And an ideal environment still contained sin. Do you know the other time in the Bible that we will have an ideal environment is something called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? It's that wonderful 1,000-year period after the rapture, and we have the judgment seat of Christ, and we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can't wait for it. Amen. And then we're going to come back and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and Jesus is physically going to be on earth ruling and reigning. Ideal environment. Read your Bible. The end of Revelation chapter number 20. Satan is loosed for a little season. And by the way, it is 1,000 years of an ideal environment because the devil's bound in the bottomless pit. But he's going to be loosed, and you know what's going to happen? He's going to deceive a whole bunch of people born during the millennium. Sin. You see, the problem with ideal situations is they still are fraught with problems. This blind man could have convinced himself, well, when everything goes my way, then I'll break out of the rut. You know what the problem was? It was never going to go his way. Amen? Hey, if I could just take care of this credit card, Pastor, I'd start tithing. No, you wouldn't. Otherwise, you'd be tithing now. Amen. If I could just get some different schedule, then I could make it out for soul winning. Now, I understand that in some cases. Sometimes, if you're working on Saturday, you can't make it out for soul winning. I understand that. But if I could, you know, we could all just keep going. If I could, if I could, if I could. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to break out of a rut, we've got to stop waiting for the ideal situation. Number two. Not only stop waiting for the ideal situation, but something else. Believe that change is possible. Believe that change is possible. Look what it says there. In verse 46, it says, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Boy, there's a faith there that we see that he believed that change was possible. See, he had heard that Jesus had unstopped deaf ears. Amen. Remember, he was blind, but he still had his ears. Amen. And he had heard that it was that Jesus that came to a widow at Nain and raised her son from the dead. Amen. He had heard that it was that Jesus that had healed a man that had been born blind from his birth that had never been done in the history of mankind before. You see, he believed that change is possible. Listen, if you're going to break out of a rut, you're going to have to believe that change is possible, not through you, not through your sinfulness, not through your frailties, but through God. It's possible to change. It's possible. It's impossible outside of God. But I will say this. A lot of lost people kick stubborn habits. And if they can do it, we certainly can do it with God's help. We can break out of a rut. We talked about it this morning. My like verse is Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Stop putting that rut on the big screen and putting God in a bottle. Amen? Hey, let's let God out of the bottle and say, God, you are able to solve any problem. We have to believe that change is possible, or we can be content and just stay in the rut. I'd rather believe change is possible. I've seen God change people's lives. I've seen Him take me out of ruts. Breaking out of a rut. I'm going to have to stop waiting for the ideal situation. Like this blind beggar, you're going to have to believe that change is possible. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. You know that song, amen? What did God say to Sarah and Abraham when they said, you're going to have a baby at age 90? That's exactly what she did too, Miss Carol Ann. She laughed. Then she lied and denied. What did God say? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That rut, it's not too hard for the Lord. It may be too hard for you, but it's not too hard for the Lord. Amen. Number three, stop waiting for the ideal situation. Believe change is possible. Number three, take personal responsibility. Take personal responsibility if you're going to break out of a rut. You say, where do you see that, Pastor? In verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He said here, he took personal responsibility. Yes, he believed change is possible. It's one thing to believe change is possible. It's another thing to start doing something about it and with it. Yesterday I was talking to a brother and we were talking about eternal security and he had a difficult time with that. And he's seen a lot of shallow professions, and certainly if you've been saved any length of time, you've seen some shallow professions. And by the way, everyone that professes Jesus as their Savior isn't a possessor of the Holy Spirit. Amen? By the way, it is simple to be saved. Come on. It's easy. You ask Christ to save you and cleanse you, forgive you of your sins. He does by faith. But we were talking about it, and he got to talking about works, and we were just going back and forth, and I said this, works, we work for Jesus, not to get saved, but because we are saved. You see, it's an outward profession of an inward possession. That's what it is to work. It's to take responsibility for our salvation and all that we've been given in Christ as He said for us to do and to tell others. You see, if you're ever going to break out of a rut, you're going to have to take responsibility. You know what you might have to do with that rut? You might have to confess that sucking on cigarettes is defiling the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? You might have to confess that watching that box maybe put some lustful thoughts in your heart. Amen. You may have to confess, young people, that listening to that music is not helping you grow closer to God. You may have to take some personal responsibility. Here, the blind beggar, he stopped waiting for the ideal situation. He believed that change is possible. He took personal responsibility. Number four, take advantage of the opportunities that God presents. Take advantage of opportunities that God presents. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Number 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. If you know anything about the travels of Jesus, you know he was on his way to Jerusalem to die. He wasn't passing by Jericho ever again. Could we say it this way, Brother Haydenberg? He had one shot at it. He had one shot. He took advantage of an opportunity. Over and over in Hebrews chapter 3, it tells us this. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. As in the days of the provocation. Why? Because when God puts His finger on an area of your life that's a rut and that needs to change, He's not ever obligated to put His finger on it again. So you know what you need to do? You need to take advantage of the opportunity that the Holy Spirit gives you. best evidence outside of the Word of God that a person is saved is the conviction of the Holy Spirit for sin. And weights. You say, what's the difference? A weight is something that's not sinful, but that hinders you. It's in Hebrews chapter 12 talks about it. A runner, a sprinter, does not want to wear weights. Why? It slows him down. A lot of Christians, we get in this race of Christianity and we're slowed down by weights. Listen, he took advantage of opportunity. He heard that Jesus was coming by and he began to cry out. Something else, number five. I like this. Verse 48 says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." You know what? He ceased to care what others thought. He ceased to care what others thought. You know, if you're going to break out of a rut, you're going to have to, listen, and I don't mean this mean, nasty. You're going to have to stop caring what your lost family thinks about your Christianity. You're just going to have to stop caring that they think you're a fanatic because you come to church three times a week. You're going to have to stop caring. If you're going to break out of a rut, if you're going to break away from a stubborn habit or an emotional rut, you're just going to have to stop caring what everybody thinks. And here he was on the highway side begging. He's slumped over on the side and he says, "Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And they said, "Be quiet. They said, "Have mercy on me." He stopped caring what other people thought. And I'll tell you, when you get to the point where you're so sick of that rut and you're just so listless and lifeless in your Christianity, you'll stop caring what other people think and you'll care what Jesus thinks. He said, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." It's time we stop giving the world so much power in our lives. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Most people don't witness because of fear. Why? Too afraid of what others will think of them instead of what God thinks of us. He ceased to care what others thought. He took advantage of an opportunity. He took personal responsibility, believed that change was possible, stopped waiting for the ideal situation. Number six. If you're going to break out of a rut, you're going to have to act boldly. You're going to have to act boldly. What's it say in verse 48? Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. They couldn't, forgive me, they couldn't shut him up. Amen? Why? Listen, he got to the point where he realized if he was going to break out of this rut, he was going to have to make some bold changes. Bold changes. Mr. Holy, the day I broke out of the rut of drinking beer, I boldly took all my beer out of the fridge. Listen, the day, young man, the day I stopped looking at pornography was the day I took everything out of my house. Amen? Listen, the day you're going to stop smoking cigarettes is the day you get rid of the cigarettes that are in your pocket and in your house. The day you stop watching filth on television is the day you either unplug it or cut the cable or do whatever. But sometimes it takes bold action. And you know what he did? He acted boldly. He said, "Shh." And he said, "Shh. Son of David, have mercy on me." Act boldly. You know, we need some bold Christians. Bold against the world. And bold for the Bible. Amen? Bold for the doctrines and standards of the Bible. Too long of the ship of Christianity been stirred by the carnal crowd. Hey, let's have some bold Christians who don't care what the world thinks and are willing to step out in faith. Believe that change is possible. Stop waiting for the ideal situation. Believe change is possible. Take personal responsibility. Take advantage of opportunity. Cease to care what others think. Act boldly. And I like this. Get the Savior's attention. Get the Savior's attention. One of the greatest messages I ever heard in my entire life was from a fellow Bible college student. He's going to help the Bergs. His name is Ray Martinez. Ray Martinez, one of the most tremendous preachers. I hope to get him here one day just to preach. Brother Brian and Heather know him. Brother Jones knows him. Tremendous. Brother Ray Martinez is tattooed from arm up. He was in a gang in Chicago. Brother Ray has what they call an SOS out on him in Chicago gangland. That is a shoot on sight because he left the gangs to go into the ministry. And Brother Ray, I will never forget hearing him preach on those first four words of verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Why did Jesus stand still? I'll tell you why. Bartimaeus got his attention. He wouldn't stop crying out. He wouldn't stop. He got his attention. You know when you get God's attention? When you seek for Him with all your heart. That's when you get God's attention. When you're more willing and you care more about what He thinks than what anybody else thinks, including your church family, including your own family, including your preacher, when you care more about what God thinks, when you, you're mortifying the flesh and you're confessing sin, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll get God's attention. And when you say, God, I cannot do this on my own. I have tried and tried and tried to break out of this rut. You have to help me if I'm going to do it. Brother Boston, I think God smiles right about then. Says, you got my attention. And the Bible says, here's Jesus. He's going on His way. Son of David, have mercy on me. He stood still. You need to get the Savior's attention. We don't get it by carnal living. Amen? We don't get it that way. We don't get it. We get it when we're serious about the things of God. He got the Savior's attention, acted boldly, ceased to care what others thought, took advantage of opportunity, take personal responsibility, believed change was possible, stopped waiting for the ideal situation. This one's so simple. But it's right there in the text, verse number 50. Or verse 49 says, be of good comfort and rise, He calleth for thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Number 8, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Listen to me. The reason why we live in ruts and the reason why we stay in ruts is we think we can handle it. Isn't that true? Listen, you don't have to amen me. I know it's true. Because I've done it so many times. I can take care of this. I can. And then God says, without me, He can do nothing. Nothing. So you know what we ought to do? We ought to come to the One who is the great problem solver of all the ages. Imagine if He'd have done all that. Son of David, have mercy on me! Have mercy on me! And they said, hey, He calling for you. No, I'm good. I'm all set. The kids, the young people, the teenagers are going to go hear Brother Pettit this week. Tremendous evangelist. I heard Brother Pettit the Saturday after 9/11. One and only time I've ever heard him. It was at a gigantic fairgrounds in Warwick, Rhode Island. And they used to have tons of teenagers come, and it was an outdoor meeting. They'd do crazy stuff. They'd have the leaders get a rope and tie it around the front of a bus and pull a bus. Amen. So I beat 5 other guys. It was like 15 of us trying to pull a bus. And Brother Pettit that day, he gave the illustration of 9/11. And at that time, Brother Shannon, they were still looking for survivors in the rubble. They were still getting cell phone calls. And he said, imagine somebody that they're digging through the rubble and they hear, help, help. They can barely hear it. I heard something. Bring the dogs over here. Help, help. And they see somebody in there and they begin to move and they can't do it with a crane. They've got to do it by hand, and they get all these volunteers over and they start moving rocks and moving rubble and just pulling them away. And it's, I see them. They're about 5 feet down. I see them. And they move and move, and finally they get to that person and they're able to get out, and they say, come on. And they say, no, I think I'd rather stay here. See, the obvious application is for the person to be saved. So many people just content to dwell in their sin and die and go to hell. But another application is certainly for those of us that are in a rut. God puts His hand down like this.
All we have to do is grab onto it. He pulls it up. He came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. Number nine. Something else very important. In verse number 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You know what else he did there in number nine? He clarified his real need. He clarified his real... By the way, Jesus was very good at that. As he would ask probing questions. And he asked this man, what do you want me to do for you? You've called and you've yelled and you've come. What do you want me to do? He clarified his real need. You know, when we come to God in general prayer, that's fine. Amen? Listen, generally we pray for our church. Amen? We pray for the members of our church. We pray for the families of our church. But as I told Wally and Ann, every time our family prays, we're praying for Wally. You know why? Because we want God to know that's a real need. And you know what? I think sometimes we say to God generally, God, would you please forgive me of sin? And He does. Thank God for that. But you know, if you're in a rut, God wants you to clarify what your real need is. God, I've got a problem with liquor. You know it. It's wicked. God, please help me. Imagine if the blind man said, oh, I'd just like you to do something great. Imagine Jesus saying, well, that's all I do. Great things. No, he said, oh, I would love to see a sunset. He clarified his real need. If we're going to break out of a rut, we're going to have to clarify our real need. And then lastly, number 10. He stopped waiting for the ideal situation. He believed that change was possible. He took personal responsibility, took advantage of opportunity, ceased to care what others think, acted boldly, got the Savior's attention, came to Jesus, clarified his real need, and then lastly in verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Can I tell you an easy way to break out of a rut is just follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. Just follow Him. Just do what He says. Just have a relationship with Him. I think so many times in independent fundamental Baptist churches, we emphasize do, 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 do. And again, I don't apologize for that, but really the emphasis ought to be on your personal time with God. If you personally love Jesus, you know what you'll do? You'll do, 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 do for Him. Just follow Jesus. He said, ye are my disciples if ye continue in my word. A disciple's a learner, a follower. Hey, get alone in this book every day. Spend some quiet time with God. Let Him instruct you. Pastor, I don't know where to read. Read the Gospels. That's the physical life of Jesus. Read the Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Read the Psalms, the great songs of Israel. There's so much more to read, but read your Bible. You say, why is that? Because you can't follow Jesus if you don't listen to what He says. And this is what He says. This is His written word. And I imagine that as soon as... And again, I can't prove this from the Scripture. Let me step away from the pulpit. As soon as blind Bartimaeus opened his eyes, for either the first time or the first time in a very, very long time, he looked at Jesus and he said, thank You. And I'd imagine... He hugged Him, probably hugged His feet, got down and did obeisance. Hey, how much more shall people that deserve hell for all eternity ought to say thank You, not just with our lips, but with our lives. He followed Jesus in the way. If you're going to break out of a rut. Listen, by the way, if you're in a rut, don't think that you're the only person ever that's ever been in a rut. We've all been in ruts. We all are still going to get in some ruts. But God shows us a way that we can break free from them. Breaking out of a rut. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.